We're here to celebrate the life of Steve Anderson. I'd like to welcome each one of you. Pastor Sean. I'm sorry, Pastor Blake. And Pastor Jason as well. And everyone else who will participate in this service. Let's open in prayer. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for your goodness, which is always around us and which reminds us to look to you always. Thank you for a life that we celebrate, Steve Anderson, who walked with you and is with you. And this morning as we celebrate, we just covet your blessing on all that is said and done. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are near. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to see everyone, and thank you all for coming out on behalf of Linda. We say thanks, and each of you who are participating in this morning service, you do have a schedule and an order of service. So if you could just come forward when it's your turn, that would be much appreciated. Thank you for the ladies who are going to lead us in singing. And we'll just go on from there. Thank you very much.
Welcome here. Steve really, really enjoyed his Amazing Grace songs.
Well, I have to confess to you that I didn't know Steve all that long. I wish I would have known him a whole lot longer. Because what I did know of him, and from the conversations that I had with him over the past couple of years, I saw this man who was of great humor and genuine faith. This was especially evident last summer when Steve received the news that his cancer invading his body was both terminal and inoperable. Yeah, he told me that he had finally figured out how to beat old age. And he just kept cracking one joke after another about heaven and death. And oh man, he'd just keep you in stitches. Yeah, I would have loved to have known him all my life. He was not interested in sympathy, nor was he particularly afraid of death, for humor, you know, can sometimes be used to disguise those inner realities within our life. Steve had this great assurance in his Savior's love, and he trusted Jesus at his word. Jesus said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus was actually saying this to comfort his disciples as they were about to lose their very best friend. He knew that they would be overwhelmed with when the grief hit, and he wanted them to know, wanted us to know, that death is not the end. The best was yet to come. And not only that, but Jesus wanted them to know that he would be there to help them make that transition. Steve knew and openly professed that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He had both the faith in Jesus, but especially that really strong assurance that Jesus was able to see him through even the illness and right to the very end. the Lord was Steve Shepherd. Steve had called, he had repented, he had received forgiveness long before this cancer came about. Steve took to heart what the Bible says. It says there in Romans 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. Steve had walked with Jesus, and he sung with him. And he knew him well enough to know that when the time should come, he was in very good hands. God had forgiven his sins, accepted him, and he's part of our eternal family. Amen. But he wasn't about to go without a fight. No way. He didn't particularly like doctors, though. Yeah. Well, you know, as people, yes, but as doctors, no. Yet he was willing to try what the doctors prescribed if it meant getting to stay longer with Linda, even just a little longer. Unfortunately, even the first bout of chemotherapy knocked the stuffing right out of him. Still, when I saw him in the hospital shortly thereafter, he felt physically horrible. I mean, he didn't look so good either. But he was so spiritually very alive. And he still kept his humor. As he put it, even then, I win either way. If the treatments work, I get to stay longer with Linda. And if not, I get to beat old age. He won. He knew that because of what Jesus did for him, he would go to heaven and would not have to wrestle with his cancerous things of life any longer. And even in December, the last time that I visited him at Linda's place, Steve reminded me again that he was ready to be with Jesus. There was no question. Even though at that point he was pretty out of it, in and out, so we sat there and talked. But not so much so that he couldn't crack a joke, and he reminded me that Plan B was now in effect. He was ready to go home. I knew that it wouldn't be long after that visit that Steve went home. I think it was roughly about 6 days. Steve wasn't pushy with the gospel. And yet, I'm sure his hope even today is that all his friends and his relatives would have that same sweet assurance that allowed Steve to face death head on and laugh at it. If you're not sure of the way to where Steve is gone, Jesus told the disciples right after he told them about his Father's house. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to my Father's place but by me. In Jesus, you'll find that same assurance and hope that Steve had, till the day his faith actually became sight. My prayer for you is that God will bless you on your journey to our Father's house and grant you the oil of joy in this time of mourning. God bless you.
Page by page, you said that you'd be coming for me soon. Oh my God, I'll be ready for you. I wanna run on greener pastures. I wanna dance on higher hills. I wanna drink from sweeter waters in the misty morning chill. And my soul is getting restless for the place where I belong. I can't wait to join the angels and sing my heaven song. Your voice and I catch my breath. Well done, my child, enter in and rest. Tears of joy roll down my cheek. It's beautiful beyond my wildest dreams. And I wanna run on greener pastures. I wanna dance on higher hills. I wanna drink from sweeter waters in the misty morning chill. And my soul is getting restless for the place where I belong. I can't wait to join the angels and sing. I wanna run on greener pastures. I wanna dance on higher hills. I wanna drink from sweeter waters in the misty morning chill. And my soul is getting restless for the place where I belong. I can't wait to join the angels and sing my heaven song.
Well, and then you can have a turn later. I'm going to try and see if I can get through this. Steve was born on May 7, 1949, in Dawson City, Yukon, to John and Sophie Anderson. Steve had four grown children, two boys, two girls, and six grandchildren. The two boys are the youngest and the oldest, and the four girls are in the middle. May 2013, Steve was hoping for his latest grandchild to be born on his birthday, but the little boy couldn't wait. Two more days. Steve has an Aboriginal background, which is Shoshone from the Pelly Crossing outside of Whitehorse. Steve belonged to the Wolf Clan, and Auntie Madge and Uncle Ken are right here. These are Steve's Auntie Madge. Belonged to the Crow Clan. The tradition is when a Wolf Clan member passes away, it is the duty of the Crow Clan to entertain food and vice versa. When somebody dies from the Crow Clan, the Wolf Clan steps up to and provides food, entertaining, and help where they can. Sorry. As a child, Steve's mother took him to the Anglican church, but later on she developed an alcohol problem, which eventually took her life when Steve was in his early 20s. As a child, Steve and his family spent the winter months on a trap line living in a tent or tent frame. Steve became an avid hunter and a fisherman. Steve was sent to Edmonton to a Catholic all-boys school for 2 years, where his substitute family, Teresa and George, that's where he met his substitute. Teresa came to the school to invite him a number of times over the Christmas holidays. For those that didn't go home during Christmas, she took them all to her place. They were just newly married at that time. But Steve kept saying no, 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 because Christmas to him was like every other day. Finally, she talked him to coming in to Christmas dinner, and he had a time of his life. He had his very first ever Christmas. Steve continued to be part of that family and became a big brother to George and Teresa's children, And they still are, and they would love to be here. They have lots, and Teresa and George are quite elderly now. He became Santa to many children that wouldn't otherwise have Christmas. And he really, we worked all year long on that, and he would find families that were just like him. And it was a great joy, and the parents used to cry, I know, because I cried too. At the age of 15, Steve was forced to leave his home by his dad. As a teenager, Steve worked as a hunter's guide, and at 18, he took up guitar with peers, teaching him to play and walk by watching others and teaching himself to play and asking questions. Steve's substitute parents helped him to go through NAIT in Edmonton, where he took up mechanics. Steve returned to Whitehorse, where he got a job in the heavy equipment field, building lease roads for mining and oil companies. Steve worked on the Dempster Highway from the beginning to the end. He also built many ice roads before cats had heaters and cabs on them. Steve was a well-sought-after worker for his construction knowledge, especially working in permafrost, and especially when somebody made a mess. Steve's guitar playing was set aside by marriage, a family, drinking, and working hard to provide a good living for his family. He didn't believe in being handed just things because he was an Indian, a term Steve called himself, and he made it well known, thus earning himself the nickname Upriver Indian Steve. Hard drinking, a trait passed down from his parents, landed Steve many nights in jail. In 1986, while in prison, the chaplain befriended Steve and gave him a Bible, which he managed to read through while there. While in prison, Steve decided that he couldn't drink while he was there, and he believed he had a good start to quit drinking and vowed to himself not to drink when he got out. That was also the last time in prison. One day in 1987, after being released, he was out in the bush far from civilization, cutting firewood for resale. After Steve had his firewood loaded, he went to start the truck, and it wouldn't start. With his mechanic's knowledge, he tried everything he could think of, but couldn't get the truck started. Out of desperation, Steve took from what he learned in the prison, and he took a short walk, called out to God, "If you are really real and care about me, then make the truck start. Steve went to the truck, turned the key, and it started. Steve thanked God, and that was the beginning of his walk with the Lord. He picked up his guitar again. Music became his compassion and his replacement from drinking. He taught himself to play guitar, mandolin, keyboard, fiddle, and banjo. Steve's friends changed, and so did his interests. He joined a group of guys who played in churches, old folks' homes, and for benefits. Steve was a fun-loving guy with a great sense of humor who cared about making someone else's day. Whether it was paying for kids' breakfast or on ride, paying for kids to go on rides when they ran out of money, or paying for a little old's breakfast as she counted out her change at the till, and he felt good doing about it. I have to tell you this story. I wasn't going to, but it's the only time I've seen Steve turn beet red and get embarrassed even telling the story. He was at Zeller's, and the lady in front of him was a little lady, big, thick Colt glass bottles, and she was counting on her change really, really slowly and pushing it aside. And then she said, "How much do I have? How much more do I need?" And push out some more, and Steve just paid it. And then she says, "Well, how much more?" She said, "No, the gentleman behind you paid for it." And he said, "He did?" She said, "Well," turns around, says, "Come down here." And she grabbed him by the cheeks. And she said, "I needed to take a really good look at the first gentleman that ever paid for breakfast for me." And then she said, "And I feel better. I see better with my hands than I do with my eyes." And his face went. And of course, everybody in the restaurant was looking at him. And but it made her day. Okay. In May 2006, Steve managed to barely escape a heart attack on his way back to Whitehorse from a vacation. He ended up in Edmonton Hospital because of pains in his chest. By bypassators and some healing, Steve was back at work at August, feeling better than he ever did. Just before walking into the hospital, Steve had his last cigarette. On June 15, 2010, while doing my final school report for school, a Christian website popped up on my screen. I first closed it many times, and it became very annoying, so I shut off my computer many a time. It kept interrupting my report as I was working on the school site. After a few days of this, and many a days, annoyance and prayer turned to curiosity. And me to shut the computer off. A few days later, I turned it back on. I filled out a form very vaguely, very briefly, with very little information, and Steve responded with a sense of humor and a true faith in God. August 6, 2010, I had my first real connection with Steve at a Walmart parking lot at Dawson Creek. And if you know, Steve is known for hanging out at Walmarts. Everybody that sent me emails or whatever from up there said, "We'll miss you at Walmart." I had previously made arrangements to meet my girlfriend on this date anyway, as she would move from Grand Cache to Mackenzie. One look at Steve and the rest is history. Both our grandfathers had immigrated from Denmark, and we both had a desire to visit Denmark. We both enjoyed the same kind of music, both enjoyed children, and we both loved the Lord. At the end of August, we met in Edmonton, and Steve drove me back to Karamias. Steve brought a fifth wheel, placed it on the property here, and spent most of his time off work here, if we weren't camping or sightseeing. In June 2014, Steve was at Whitehorse getting ready for our summer-long trip to Inuvik when we went to see the doctor with a persistent cough. The doctor discovered he had pneumonia, but also he had a spot in his lungs smaller than a dime. When Steve went back for his two-week checkup for pneumonia, 2 days before he was to fly here, that spot had grown from the size to the size of a tennis ball. At this time, I have to thank my principal for being there for me. She was encouraging, and I was on the picket line. I don't even know if we were supposed to have contact. But anyway, she was very encouraging, and she told me she was praying for me, which was, when you're in that situation, the best words you can hear is, "They're praying for you," especially for me anyway. That's how it works. The specialist in Whitehorse was able to get Steve to see the cancer specialist in Kelowna that Monday. So the day after school, it was Saturday and Sunday that Monday. So instead of going to Inuvik, which we had planned, we spent our summer at the cancer clinic in Kelowna. That Monday when we saw the specialist, a decision was made to take out that lung. But before they could take out the lung, Steve would need a full body and bone scan done, which was done in the early part of July. It was then that the doctors informed us that Steve had small cell cancer and had already entered his bones. They said with chemo, he would have a better quality of life. That did not happen. Steve never complained, and he said he lived a great and full life, and he was always ready to die, and he wasn't afraid of death. He always referred to the song by Hank Williams Sr., which I passed out, "His burdens are greater than mine." Didn't matter what it was, he always, even if I said something, he would refer to that. One of Steve's favorite songs, and after being diagnosed with terminal cancer, all the songs Steve sung were about going to heaven. The last and final outing that Steve and I had together were with Stuart and Sylvia. They took us to the top of the mountain to see the columns. Steve said that he had just gotten closer to God. We talked many a times about that time and how it was a really nice outing to go to just before he went home. After Steve's third stay in the hospital, Steve said he didn't want to go back to the hospital and that he wanted to die at home in Karamias. With the help of Dr. Partridge and a wonderful healthcare nurses, Steve was made comfortable at home. While I was at his side holding his hand, Steve went very peacefully to be with the Lord on December 18th at the age of 65. 1 week before Christmas, I had called Pastor Weeb and he did come over too. Steve was buried in Dawson City, Yukon, January 3rd. His wish was to be cremated and placed with his mom, but he was buried. Even though our faith tells us that we should rejoice for that Steve is with God, it is difficult for those of us left behind not to feel sad and lonely. And I just want to thank you all for coming and all that participated and all that made this happen. Just numerous guys.
Of those gathered here today, I count myself as probably one of the newest to know Steve. I really kind of got to know Steve best once his kids showed up and was a part of arranging to have them have times to visit their dad through the process of his passing. And even with Linda, I know Linda through Strong Start. We moved to town, went to Strong Start, got to know Linda right away, but must confess, didn't know Steve very well until the last couple of weeks. And got to share with the family. And so I was asked by Linda to come and to share kind of on behalf of the family, but just kind of with the time that I got to spend with them. And so I had the privilege of spending the quality time with Steve and his family in the weeks prior to his passing. I was reminded in those moments that life doesn't always go according to plan, that family relationships can be complicated, and that we never truly know the day or the hour when the Father calls us home. I am grateful for the time the Father gave the family to speak their farewells. It's one of the few times when I've been with a family at that time that there was lots of time to say last words, and that family members that couldn't say it on Tuesday and couldn't say it on Wednesday and couldn't say it on Thursday had till next week. It was a remarkable privilege to see how God orchestrated everything right down to the very last detail. To be with the family and celebrate the memories as we huddled around Steve's bed, and to prepare their hearts for what tomorrow might bring. And it really was, every day we went there, it might be tomorrow. And we never knew. And then there was a couple times where he rallied. We're like, okay, well, I guess maybe not tomorrow. And so that day in and day out, being with the family and with Linda and going, okay, Lord, if it's your will, then so be it. And if we know you can heal, I remember praying just about every day, Lord, you created everything. So if you speak it, Steve is healed. And we all know that. In the absence of that, we're looking at what would seem a human outcome. And, in the midst of that day-to-day working it out, there was such beauty and divine presence through each step of the journey. But my heart will treasure the time we took to bless Steve's children. I love when God gives us an opportunity to say things maybe we haven't said or we didn't take the time to say. And the best part was God moved us to bless Steve's oldest son and daughter at a time when we didn't know if Steve had much time left. And then he rallied like crazy and was able to, with great clarity, remember everything that we had done with his son and with his daughter. And so it was awesome for us to know that it wasn't just him kind of there in the bed and us doing something, but he was there and present and conscious of what we were doing. And it was just a remarkable time. But I wanted to ask this morning, how often do we as parents take time to bless our children? How many of us have been blessed by our own parents? Have you ever had the privilege of being blessed by a spiritual mom or a dad? Speaking a blessing can be so powerful and healing. And if I can share one exhortation with you guys today, do not hesitate to speak blessing over those God has placed in your life. To be with Steve and his oldest son, Stevie, to bless Stevie, to speak life over him, you could see his countenance change. Steve, the oldest son, they called him, it was kind of difficult because there's Steve and then there's Steve. And so the son we called Stevie, and it seemed like that's kind of what they did to help distinguish who we were speaking of. But Stevie didn't really want to be there. He was uncomfortable with this season, with this passing. But got to see as God, little bit by little bit, drew him a little closer and a little closer and a little closer. And finally, in that moment, he'd gone outside, and I really felt strongly that we needed to pray this blessing with them. And I went outside, and we talked for a bit, and then he was like, okay, we can do this. And so we came in, and we prayed. And as Steve and I are blessing his son and praying over his son, his oldest daughter, Michelle, sat and watched keenly. And you can just see when you're doing something, and someone, sometimes people are sitting in the periphery, and they're not really paying attention, and then there's those that are on the edge of their seat watching very intently. And it became very obvious that we also needed to take time to bless her as well. And so we did. The sense of unity, restoration, and healing was precious and beautiful. and will stay with me forever. I love doing what I do because I get the privilege of being in some of these amazing moments that I don't deserve to be in, but I get the privilege and am very humbled every time I get to do that. Our precious Heavenly Father speaks many blessings over each of us throughout the Scriptures. But I leave you today with an old favorite from Numbers 6. You're probably all familiar with it. But may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Before I sing the song, here's a little fun fact. Linda doesn't have a flesh heart. She has a heart of gold.
You gotta repeat that, buddy.
Fun fact. Linda does not have a flesh heart. She has a heart of gold. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find my when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine. I can I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Thank you. My name is Madge Thompson. I reside in this area. I would like to say a few words about my dear nephew, Steve. I've known Linda and Steve for quite a few years, and we have had many good times together. Barbecues, visiting back and forth, etc. With Steve playing his instruments and singing. Steve was a lot of fun to be with and had a good sense of humor. Over many years, Steve worked in the North Country on road construction.
Oh, thank you.
With heavy duty equipment. He worked with my four brothers, Uncle Howard, Jim, Ted, and Fred. He also worked with my brother Howard Vance's four sons, Steve's cousins. Thank you. Before I close, I would like to give our sincere thanks to Linda for her dedication, care, and love for Steve. Steve will be missed by all those who loved him, and they were plenty. Goodbye. God bless Steve. Till we meet again. Thank you. My son, Ted Jr., wrote this poem for Steve and put music to it, but I can't sing it because I didn't learn the music. So I will read the poem to everyone. Let me tell you, folks, who have gathered here today, about this old Indian cowboy who has just passed away. I know it's hard for all of us, but please don't cry. For now he's riding God's trails high up in the sky. His horse that he is riding now, don't spook, buck or kick. For God's stables has perfect horses, and now he has his pick. Oh God, please forgive him for his sins of yesterday. For he has always believed in you every step of the way. For he has lived a great life, cowboy's dreams come true, and now he will be riding on higher planes into eternity with you. Amen.
like to say something about Steve, this would be your chance to do that. Thank you.
Steve is my friend. What? 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 What, Mom? What? Mom? That's the pillow of me.
You don't have to have your mouth right in there. Okay, that's good.
That's the pillow of me. He always used to say, who are you? He always used to pretend those bumping into stuff in the cart.
He always tried to tease you about, like, pushing you.
In the cart.
In the cart. He always thought he was going to drive, right?
Yes.
And crash. But he didn't, did he? What other silly things did he do?
Skit.
He'd say.
Two sardines out of the can together.
And he'd say, Riley, what's your name? How would he say that?
Hey, you, Riley. Is that you, Riley?
He'd say, is that you, Riley? What's your name?
Riley.
And what else did he tell you in the end? About the angel. What did you ask Steve?
If he could be an angel.
If he could be your special angel?
Yeah.
And what did Steve say?
Yeah.
And what are you supposed to do?
I don't know.
Stay in school and look up in the sky.
Stay in school and look up in the sky.
And now you have. And he's going to be a special angel for you. And do you have a special song for Steve?
Yeah.
Okay, just...
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky.
One of those stars is Steve.
Little star to Steve.
Is there anyone else who would like to share anything? Please come forward.
Like a really nice guy. But when I started to do home care, I was only there once, but I because we had quite a few staff, and that particular day I remember Linda saying to me, you know, I don't know how long he's gonna be here. He's really eating. You know, he's eating a lot. And I said, well, that could, you know, increase the cancer as well. And she goes, oh, I never thought of it. But I said, Linda, do you see how shiny he is? He's so like glowing, and she said, no, I don't see that, but I've seen that, and I had never seen Steve look so bright and happy and shining. I think he passed away, what, a couple days later? Yeah. And so she said to me, you knew, and I said, no, I didn't.
Does anyone else feel free, please? This is kind of an unusual gathering in as much as there's three pastors participating in this. It's very much like going to Starbucks and getting one of those coffees. And for 3 days later, you just drink hot water and still get a buzz off of it. But obviously, we all touched Steve's life somehow, and he was a friend of our church family here, and I did enjoy him from the perspective that he walked close to earth and he was a good fit in our midst, and that's why we enjoyed him. I just have several thoughts I'd like to share regarding him, and it's interesting how he touched our lives in different ways. There's several verses out of the book of Proverbs that I'd like to draw attention to. But when I thought of Steve, I thought these verses describe his life. In Proverbs 16:20, it says, "Whoever heeds instruction prospers." And "And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord." Somehow I seen Steve in that first verse there. "Whoever heeds instruction prospers. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord." Steve was one who heeded instruction. If you look at his natural life, what he became, he was a heavy-duty equipment operator, and he was an owner of heavy-duty equipment. That doesn't come easily. That doesn't come overnight. That's nothing that you walk into. That's something you grow into with heeding instruction. Steve also knew the ways of his people. He knew what hunting was all about. He knew what fishing was all about. He knew what the land was all about because he heeded instruction. And as a result, he prospered. He did. When Steve was confronted with something that was bigger than himself, he had to go to someone who was bigger than himself. And that's where his trust in the Lord came in. Steve trusted in the Lord. Proverbs 18 verse 10 says, "At the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe." When we know that tomorrow is there, we have the term, we have the world by the tail. Tomorrow's going to be good. I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Let's get her done. When tomorrow is not there, when the harsh reality of life close in, where do we go? Steve was in a good place. As has been said earlier, he made it right with the Lord. Steve knew where to go. Steve knew that there was a safe place in his relationship with God. Steve heeded instruction. He's a very prosperous man. He's walking on streets of gold. A very prosperous man because he heeded instruction. Steve knew that there was a place of comfort, a place of peace, joy. Even though there was no promise of tomorrow, Steve had something to hang on to. The name of the Lord is like a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. When I observed Steve at the last days of his life, he looked like he was in a safe place. There was no anxiety. There was no stress. Kind of weird, kind of unusual. It was like he was safe. It was like he was safe. Blessed is a man who heeds instruction. Blessed is a man who makes the Lord his safe place. Steve was a good guy. I really enjoyed talking with him. He was the kind of a person you could learn something from. He was a kind of a person who was willing to give something of himself. And I guess that's what made him special. Thank you, Steve. Thank you for being a good example. Steve, someday we're going to see you again. Amen. We have a song, closing song, and then this meeting will be over. Don't run off. We have lots of food here. We love to fellowship together. Thank you very much. We close this gathering in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, first of all, we give thanks for such a great salvation, for your great love towards us, for every person, how much you love each one, and that with confidence we know that our brother Steve is with you because of your great love. Thank you, Father, for your plan of salvation and that it works every time. I pray your blessing over our gathering. Thank you for each one that you love so much as we fellowship together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless.